It's funny though, because if you do, and you said sooner than later, they'll be like the same age that my, like, because my daughter's 2 years and 8 months older than my youngest.
Yeah, that's like me and my sister. She's 3 years older than me. So I think that's a good, I don't want it too much bigger than that. And it was just too much to have one right after the other.
Hell on earth. Hey, what's going on, my friends? Welcome. I'm kidding. Welcome to the Stochastic.com MLB Strategy Show. Dave Lochran, Matt Bellman. 10-game Tuesday slate, some big contests today. Some NBA games happening in the streets. Hopefully you took advantage of that promo. It's over now. We got a little something coming up, though, tomorrow for you NBA folks out there. Yeah. Stay tuned. I feel so uncomfortable saying the word folks. I never say that. I only say it almost like ironically. Because I sound like a moron when I say it. Like, I don't say y'all.
I think I'll text those words, but I won't say them out loud.
Yeah, I don't say them at all. Jordan, do you say, folks? You say y'all. Yeah, you say y'all. You know which one? Look, I mean no disrespect to anybody. I think it's like a Pittsburgh type thing. I don't know. Maybe like an Appalachia thing. But where people use the phrase yins,
that's a Pittsburgh thing.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's not acceptable in Cleveland.
Yins? Why? I mean, what? What does that even mean? I mean, it means like you, right? Another one. Use. That's terrible as well. Use. Y-O-U-S. Just say you.
Am
I overstepping here? To me, I don't know. This type of stuff, not to be the use yins y'all police or whatever, but just be normal. Anyway, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I feel like there are certain people out there that can say use. No one should say yins ever.
If someone said that to me, I think they were speaking a different language. I'd ask for an interpreter.
I was wondering where you were going to go with that when you said the Pittsburgh thing, and then it made complete sense.
Yeah. I mean, y'all, I'm fine. I don't say it. Max said that's a Philly thing. Dude, you're 100% right. I'm not from Philly, though. From the suburbs of Philadelphia. Yeah. But, yeah, exactly. Use guys. I know. It just drives me nuts. Like, I can't say it. However, I know many people that do say it. Either way, happy to have you guys with us. Got a good slate, some good action today on this 10-gamer. Hey, Pablo Lopez against the White Sox. I said to Greg yesterday, I was like, I know Paddock hasn't been good, but I'll play anybody against the White Sox at this point. Like, if you went out there, Matt, I don't know your height. I don't know what your velocity looks like. I don't know how fast you throw. I might consider a $4,000 Matthew Bellman against the White Sox right now.
That probably wouldn't be a good move, but your point is very well taken. How do you get away from Lopez today? I don't know.
I know. Max, yes, it does leak out to Bucks County. How do you know I lived in Bucks County? Either way. Yeah, Bucks County. I'm in upper Bucks County. It used to be lower Bucks, but it did leak out there. It's because people moved from Philly to Bucks County. My family did. My parents were both from Philadelphia. So, yeah. Anyway. Let's get into it, man. If you don't mind, take one single second. Atone for your sins here on this wonderful Tuesday morning. Going to be 68 and sunny here. 68 and sunny. I've been doing some vigorous yard work. Rigorous, I should say. Yard work. And maybe even some tonight. Good weather. I don't know what it's like out there by you, but we're getting some great weather out here, brother. And just one second. Take a second. Hit that thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel. It goes a very long way for us, and we do appreciate it. We do. I don't just say that. It's true. Leave a comment down below. You're listening or watching after the fact. And if you ever, you know, you're driving or maybe you're out there mowing the lawn and you're like, all right, well, I don't have YouTube Premium. I don't want to leave my phone open, kill my battery. Podcast. We got you. Apple Podcast, Spotify, whatever it is you're doing, wherever you want to listen, you can do so. Anyway, happy to have you guys here. I see some regulars in chat and some more. Glad you're with us. Let's talk baseball. Matt, we'll do pitchers. We'll jump into some stacks. We do have 10 games today. I don't really see any other place to start right now than talk about Pablo Lopez first. I don't know if you saw Chicago's implied total for this game. It is currently sitting at 3.7. Or I'm sorry, incorrect. 2.7. 2.7, dude. Sitting at 2.7. Our top pitchers tool right now, I guess just on the first run, showing something different, but I'm telling you right now, it's at 2.7.
There's no way it's four. Like, that's wrong.
No. It's certainly not four. It's 2.7. It is 2.7. Yeah. Listen, if you go on DraftKings, it's just first place I looked, White Sox team total runs, under 2.5, minus 125. So in some books, it's under 2.5.
That's what I see.
This game has a 7-run total, okay? A 7-run total. The Twins are minus 278 on the money line. The White Sox are really bad.
This is like prime Pedro Martinez versus an awful offense. Like, Pablo Lopez certainly isn't that good, but he's really good and in just the nut spot right now. I think you just play him and get different elsewhere. I feel like our tools are off here. I know he's the highest pitcher in the tools, but only barely above Marcus Stroman, who's more expensive than him. Like, I don't see that. I think Lopez is so far and away the top pitching option. It's not even remotely close.
I'm with you. And, you know, his price isn't even that bad. You look at Paddock yesterday, and sure, on a game-to-game basis, anything can happen, right? Like, Lopez, Lopez could miss a pitch with, you know, a guy, give up a two-run shot. He could just miss his spot, and it happens.
Baseball.
Exactly. But Paddock went 7 scoreless with 10 Ks yesterday. And, yeah, that's only one game, but he was dominant. This team,
and he stinks.
Yeah, I will say, I said it yesterday, I was pretty adamant about this. I don't think he's as bad as he was to start the season because he faced Milwaukee, who's killing every righty, the Dodgers, and then the Baltimore Orioles in Baltimore. So it's not like he went from bad matchups to an okay matchup. Dude went from bad matchups to a Triple A team. You know what I mean? Granted, I didn't expect that type of performance, but it was a good spot. And Pablo Lopez at 9,300 seems more than reasonable in a game like, dude, this might be not all. Well, yes, up until this point, I can say with relative certainty, this is probably the lowest total, team total, that any team has had.
Yeah, I can't remember one lower. It's really rare you see them under 3. Yeah, maybe I'll take back what I said about Chris Paddock. Your point's well taken. So I don't think he's good, but maybe he doesn't stink. I guess.
I don't think he's good either. What I'm saying is, like,
maybe he's just fine.
He's the type of guy that against the White Sox you can play.
Right. Fair enough. Yeah, definitely. Clearly. I mean, I don't think there's any question of that today. As you said, it is a game-to-game thing. Like, I don't expect Lopez to pitch as well as Paddock did last night. Right. That's weird to say, but, like, give me the under on that. But that said, like, you don't even need that from your pitchers, especially on slates like this. You need your pitchers to be good. And Lopez, his upside is massive here. I mean, it's baseball. Anything can happen. You've seen pitchers against the White Sox recently. Even Aaron Nola, who did not look good, especially early in that game, gave up 2 runs in the first inning, ended with like 30 fantasy points.
Remember earlier in the year, I half seriously said that Ranger Suarez is better than Aaron Nola. Remember when I said that?
Yes, I did. I do remember, and that's just still not true, but go off.
I want to revisit this because I think at the end of the year, we may be looking back and going, Ranger Suarez is the number 2 behind Zach Wheeler. I know you adamantly disagree with this.
The only thing I'll say that, like, this isn't, like, to your point, but I don't think it's crazy, like, in a playoff series to go Wheeler, Suarez, Nola. Just righty, lefty, righty. You know, teams like to do that.
Sure.
But I still think that at the end of the day, and maybe I'm biased and just a Nola fanboy, but I think he's the better pitcher than Ranger Suarez.
Yeah, I agree. I know. Well, I'm sorry. I agree that I agree that right now you can't put Ranger ahead of him just because of Nola's track record. What I'm saying, I think end of year you could see a little bit different. Anyway, we'll see. We'll revisit this one more time, Matt. Maybe two, but yeah, Pablo Lopez. It's like getting away from him to me doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Although it's a 10-game slate. So we're going to get into some other pitching. One guy I wanted to talk to you about was Kevin Gausman, because we had seen the velocity troubles, all of that, and been like, man, what's going on with this guy? You know, he got laid into by the Rockies at home and then goes out against the Yankees, 5-1 run innings, 6 strikeouts. You know, we've seen this before with him where he gets off to a slow start in the season, figures it out. Even last year, his velocity was down, ended up being fantastic. What are you doing with an $8,500 Gausman against Kansas City today?
I think he looks good here because of the price point. I don't think he's safe. He doesn't have one start over 20 fantasy points or over 18 fantasy points yet this year. So I'm not playing him because of that, but it's worth noting. Encouraging to see him go over 100 pitches last time out. I don't love the matchup, but he's too talented for an $8,500 price tag.
I agree. We'd seen, you know, it's funny. We'd seen wind blow out at Kauffman Stadium, but the temperatures hadn't been warm. It hadn't really made any bit of a difference at all when you look at it. Like in that Kansas City park, it's tough to hit home runs. It's going to be 70, wind blowing left to right. No big deal there. There is something to be said about, do you want to be early on Gausman or not? And that's kind of what it comes down to for me. He's getting 18% ownership today, though, so it's not like he's unowned. Pablo Lopez and Michael King are by far the two highest owned pitchers. Michael King, again, by the way, isn't it amazing that, you know, yesterday the highest owned pitcher was Dylan Cease at Coors Field? My, how things have changed. And he put up phenomenal numbers, 7-1 run innings, 8 strikeouts, just dominated a terrible Rockies team. Now you have Michael King, a guy that, you know, had pitched out of the bullpen, made, I think, 9 starts last year, coming off of a 7 2/3 1-run start with 10 strikeouts against Milwaukee. He's got Colorado today at Coors Field, and it doesn't seem at this point, Coors Field, particularly this early in the year, we're still in April, 59-degree temperatures. This, with good pitchers, with good strikeout stuff, hasn't seemed to be any bit the deterrent whatsoever from people getting heavy on them. And also, they're putting up good games.
Yeah, I think that's helped people continue to stay on these guys. And
yeah,
hence why we'll see King get massive ownership here. The thing about King, he has not been really popular on any slate, even that last slate against the Brewers. I know on the slate before that against the Dodgers, he wasn't. I get the strikeout upside, but even with Cease last night, I mean, I thought he got way too much ownership for this spot. The Rockies offense is not good, especially against right-handers. I think it'll be a little bit better than expected, although that hasn't seemed to be play out so far. I get the King ownership because of the other options, but I don't like it.
Why don't you like it? Just because he's overowned.
He puts a lot of guys on base. This is not the spot where you want to be walking guys. I think he's got major strikeout upside at 7K, but the ownership's already there. Kevin Gausman has major strikeout upside at 8,500. I think that is the best thing for King, though, is his price tag. He's too cheap. If he weren't getting love, I would like him a lot, but he is. So as of now, I see myself pivoting. It's only 11-20, though.
Yeah, for sure. You know what it comes down to for me with Michael King? That price point is wild.
Yeah, it's way too cheap, especially when you look at the guys around him. Like, he's high in our top two pitcher tool. Like, I have no argument for that. I don't think it's the safest play in the world, and I think he's getting played like that, but there's no argument he's too cheap.
The reason I like this new format, us talking pitchers and then stacks, is because we can actually have a conversation about, hey, are there any other guys in the surrounding price range, right? Like, instead of going game by game where we have to come back to everything, which is good for basketball, personally for football, I love it. Even though Ben and I on Tuesdays do the first look show that's position by position, and I enjoy that too. But this same price range, I do actually think, or let me say, I don't think it's totally devoid of options. And I'll give you one guy right now that I won't say he jumps off the page. And let me know where you guys are going. Are you guys going to King? Are you guys getting to other guys in this price range? Are you paying up for two pitchers going down? That's what makes it. Well, look, we have a chat for a reason. You know what I mean? So let us know where you're at. And Sean said you can't play Olson right now. He 0-18 slump with another four strikeout Sunday. Yeah, dude, the problem is, and hey, Sean, hot streaks, cold streaks, they're real, but you can't quantify when they're going to start or end. Like, Harper started off the season 0-12 and then had a 3-home-run game out of nowhere. So if you didn't play him because he was slumping, you're missing a 3-homer game. It's such a tough thing to do. Anyway, Jenna Sandy, you just mentioned the one that I was going to bring up right now. Dane Dunning is, if nothing else, and I'd love for this to be a T-Mobile Park. It's not. It's in Texas. But Dane Dunning at 6,600 is at least interesting to me, Matt. I know that Rodriguez is coming around a little bit here, but Dunning has a 23% strikeout rate. The walk rate is concerning, but 11% swinging strike rate. There are some numbers here, and don't get me wrong, like 4.77 xFIP. There's some his FIP is 6.18. There's some things that are remotely disturbing. But 6,600, 7% ownership, I don't want to just overlook that spot entirely because Seattle does have insanely high strikeout stuff against right-handed pitching.
They do. As you mentioned in your kind of prelude, Rodriguez really, really started to get going lately. He's very hot and cold. He's hot right now. And this lineup kind of goes as he goes. They're second in our top stack tool with.
I know. I like
I don't him. Get that. I like I don't get that. Like, it seems like something's going to change here. Maybe I'm off, but why does Seattle have so much of a higher top stack percentage than Atlanta? I don't know. Maybe they just do. I immediately went to look at weather to see if weather was a thing. It doesn't seem to be. So our tools just really like Seattle here. I think the Dunning shout out is fine. He's too cheap. But that's about all good I have to say about him. He's like a fine pitcher. He's not going to get a ton of Ks. He's been decent this year. I'm not sure it continues. I think he's fine. Nothing more, nothing less.
This is just a boom or bust spot when it comes to Seattle, in my opinion. I feel like every Seattle spot is kind of a boom or bust spot. Like, this season, we're starting to get a sample size that's somewhat legitimate, right? They've had 620 plate appearances against righties. They have the highest strikeout rate in the league. 28.2% is an enormous number. I mean, it really is. And Rodriguez coming around. Look, I mentioned that as well. You mentioned that. I'm not saying that we should ignore that because we shouldn't. But you take a look at all of these Seattle bats this season, and you know, we don't have to get into like qualified hitters or whatever, but you take a look at some of these Seattle bats versus righties, just individual bats, and look at some of the strikeout rates. It's pretty remarkable how high some of them are. And I think there's something to be said about one. Okay, so there's 5 guys with Rodriguez, 71 plate appearances, 28% strikeouts. Raleigh, 63 with a 29% strikeout rate. Haniger, 63 plate appearances, 32% strikeout rate. Garver, 48, 33% strikeout rate. Polanco, 34% strikeout rate on 71 plate appearances. And I'm just reading some of them off. There's other ones in there too. It's been pretty rough.
I'll counter you with this. And this kind of falls back on, you could spin baseball and write the story however you want with the numbers. what righties have they faced in there compared to Dane Dunning, who's not a guy that strikes out a lot of guys. Like, this is probably a better matchup for them than they've seen the majority of the season. At least I would guess.
Yeah, probably. But again, like, that's why I'm saying 620 plate appearances is still a decent amount. I think Seattle looks good today. Like, if Dane Dunning's not missing bats, in his first, four starts, he's coughing up 2 home runs per 9. So, you know, and it's not in Seattle where home runs and runs in general go to die. Like, I think there's an argument for both. He has a 21% home run to fly ball rate so far this year. It doesn't look great. I'm just saying this could be one where either side comes out victorious.
Yeah, for sure. I could see that. I mean, he's cheap enough where that's easy to see. And then Seattle has upside. So I get that.
Are there any other pitchers in this price range, like, you know, 6 to 8K that you're looking at? I mean, you're not getting to Eric Fetty against Minnesota, right?
No. The one guy that kind of stands out per our tools is Jordan Wicks. 6,900, similar price as Dunning. About double the top pitcher percentage as Dunning and getting less than 1% ownership. Houston is a daunting lineup. We know how good they are, especially up top, even against left-handed pitching with Alvarez and Tucker, two lefty mashers from that side. But Wicks has strikeout upside, and this Houston team is just falling apart before our very eyes, it seems. Parker just shut them out on Sunday, another left-hander. This Houston team's like 7-15. I know that doesn't matter for DFS purposes, but they have not been good. So I could see Wicks being good here at no ownership at a cheap price point.
He's got to be getting like no ownership, right?
Less than 1%.
Yeah. Yeah. The Astros, I mentioned this to Greg. Yes. Yeah. 7-16. Jeez, dude.
Yeah. They're awful. Wicks has a higher top two pitcher percentage than Logan Webb. Like, he's high in our tools. That's what makes him stand out to me.
But how can they be so awful?
I don't know. They've been bad. Bottom of their lineup stinks.
A lot of these guys are good.
Yeah, seems we know they're good. It does seem like a guy like Bregman, who was a great player for many years, is no longer great. Abreu stinks now. The bottom of their lineup's not very good. And yeah, their pitching hasn't been good either. So I don't know what's going to happen with this team.
Neither do I. I feel like every time I look at a Houston game, Altuve or Alvarez are the only ones doing anything.
I agree. And I want to just give them the benefit of the doubt because they've been good for so long.
Yeah.
But their pitching does not seem that good anymore. I know Verlander's just coming
Hunter
back.
Hunter Brown's been one of the worst pitchers in baseball.
Hunter Brown's been bad. Javier just got hurt. Valdez is fine. But yeah, I think this team is just older.
Are you worried about the wind blowing out at Wrigley?
Doesn't really seem like it's like a big concern tonight unless I'm off there.
Well, a 10.5 run total at Wrigley. Decent. That's a decent total for Wrigley. Usually indicates a little something's going on there. It doesn't look terrible, though. It's not like 20-mile-per-hour winds, but it's blowing out the center field. 10.5 runs is a decent amount for Wrigley.
Yeah, I don't understand how a team like Seattle, like, how is the team like Houston so low in our top stack percentage? I don't get it.
It's a good point.
You know, the White Sox total being 4 in there, kind of has me believing that a lot of these numbers might change.
No, they will, because the Cubs and Astros have higher totals than 4-4 and 4-3. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, like, I think you're going to see teams like Houston, even like St. Louis, go up quite a bit. I don't think Seattle stays up there.
You're going to see the Cubs go up and Houston go up for sure. Both of these teams have implied totals of around 5.2, 5.3. And that's nearly a full run higher than where we have them in this initial run.
Yeah, the Cubs here also look good against France. We'll talk about that when we talk about offenses. Yeah, so kind of just, I don't want to say ignoring the tools because I use them as the guide, but
Well, they'll update throughout the day. I mean, we can say that right now.
Right. So still very early. Obviously, no one's like building lineups right now. As far as other pitchers go, it is interesting. There's some good pitchers on this slate, not getting a lot of ownership. Logan Gilbert, Logan Webb, Kevin Gausman, Max Fried. None of those guys over 20% owned. They've all had their own issues this year. They've all been priced down a little bit, though. So, yeah, I'm not sure.
Marcus Stroman at 9,800. It's a good matchup. Oakland strikes out at the second highest clip versus righties, behind only the aforementioned Mariners. But, man, it's just, it's a really expensive price point, even in a good matchup, for a guy that has a 20% strikeout rate, kind of thrives on inducing ground balls, has a 61% ground ball rate this year. Stroman does not give up much power. He doesn't give up many home runs. He's a very good real-life pitcher, but almost 10K for Stroman. I get it. He's pulling 20% ownership because the matchup's fantastic. And you know what? This may end up being one of these games where he goes 8 scoreless and only strikes out 5, but it doesn't matter and they get the win. But that's real expensive for a guy that has a 20.9% K rate this year.
Way too expensive. Another one. I expect these numbers to change. I think Lopez just looks far better at a cheaper price point. As of right now, we have Stroman getting ownership. We'll see if that holds. For me, he's too pricey. I'm with you.
I actually like pitching on this slate, though. I, you know, a lot of times there aren't really good alternatives, you know? Like, there aren't good kind of pivots. I think there are today off of some of the – listen, I love Pablo Lopez. I think I like Michael King more than you do, but I understand where you're at there. But Gausman's getting only 17%. A few other guys, you mentioned Gilbert. That's tough against Texas. He's 9K. If you had to pick your favorite pivot off of someone like Pablo Lopez, who's it going to be? Because you have Rodriguez at 9,600. You have Gilbert at 9K. You have Webb at 8,800. There's a lot of pitchers in that price range that are pulling very little ownership, particularly compared to Lopez.
Yeah, probably between Gausman and Rodriguez for me. I obviously like the price point on Gausman more. I feel better about Rodriguez, though. This Angels lineup is awful right now. Albert Suarez, again, with another really good outing. So if he can do it, Grayson can too.
Do you like Rodriguez?
I do. I like Rodriguez as a pitcher a lot. I like this matchup. He's too pricey, so I like Lopez a lot more. But I could see playing them together as a pivot. If you're playing Padres bats or whatever, I don't hate that either. I do like Lopez significantly more, though.
Yeah, Grayson Rodriguez, first start of the season against LA. 6 one-run innings, 9 strikeouts in that spot.
He's good.
Oh, yeah. He hit some rough patches last year to start the season. But he's since turned that around in a big way. There's no denying that. Before we get to stacks, because like I said, there are options here, and we've talked about a lot of them. Are there any other guys that are lower priced that are like, I would assume you're not getting the Trevor Rogers today against Atlanta, you know, a lefty going up against that Atlanta Braves, you know, righty heavy Atlanta Braves team. That looks like a pretty difficult spot. My guess is there's several guys that we can just kind of write off down there. Tommy Henry doesn't look great against St. Louis. Ryan Feltner against San Diego. I'm good on that.
I don't know.
You want to go to Feltner?
I think that he's the one guy down here. Like,
really?
Yeah, opposite Dunning. That I think you can make a case for.
You're a brave man. You were on Feltner. You liked Feltner last time we talked, too.
I know. I'm kind of upset you remembered that. But so his last start was actually against the Phillies, and he wasn't good, but he got a lot of strikeouts. This Padres lineup isn't great right now, especially without Machado. It's not bad, but Machado's their second best hitter behind Tatis. This lineup does set up a lot better against left-handed pitching for the most part. Feltner's not very good, but even in that start against the Phillies last time out, he gave up 6 runs, but he struck out 8. And I don't know. I don't like him. I probably won't play him, but he's getting no ownership, and it's direct leverage against the Padres.
Would you rather play Ryan Feltner at 6,400 or Eric Fetty against Minnesota at 7,500.
I do them similarly. I was kind of on Fetty a little bit to start the season with how good his numbers in the KBO were. I'll say Fetty. I don't think he's consistent, and I don't have any faith in him, but he's better than Ryan Feltner. So Fetty, I'll say there.
I have one more pitcher I want to throw at you here. Max Fried. He's a big favorite today. Can't ignore that. Minus 258 moneyline favorites, the Atlanta Braves. The Marlins have a very low implied total. Last I looked, it was sitting at around 3.2. He's 8K. He's had one decent start, literally all season, through his first four. Is this a spot where you look for Max Fried to bounce back, or are you off of him today?
I probably won't play him. Again, I'm not playing a ton of lineups. I'll probably play somewhere between like 2 and 4. And there's other guys in his range I like more that aren't as high owned. But he is cheap. And I'm pretty sure his only good start of the year came against Miami, for whatever that's worth.
It did. You're right. I don't know if there's anybody else.
I don't really see it. Gilbert's the one guy that's like really falling through the cracks. I hate the matchup, but he's too good to be getting 4% ownership.
He's very good. And I think he's only going to get better. You know, he's one of those guys that you continue to see. I read an article on him a couple weeks ago that was like a, who's your long shot Cy Young pitch, you know, in the AL. And of course there's so many injuries right now that I'm not even sure how crazy it is, but he's legitimately good. He tweaked his pitch mix before the season, and cause it's the fastball's never been good enough to make him just like elite. But added that cutter. Actually, no, he didn't add the cutter. I think he put 5 miles per hour on the cutter, Matt. And you started seeing really good results. 29% strikeout rate this season. He's missing bats at a really nice clip. 12.9% swinging strike rate. All of these are career highs right now. And he pitches at a good park. Not today, but he pitches at a good park. I think I'm with you. Like, if we were to look at this and go, all right, let's name one guy that's just getting very little ownership, but is really good and should probably be getting more ownership than he is. It doesn't mean that he's a lock to go off. It doesn't mean that he's in a good spot even, which is, you know, why he's not getting ownership. But if you're like, okay, which is one of these guys that in this spot or in their spot could put up a really solid outing because they're just that good? I think the answer probably is Gilbert. Grayson Rodriguez too. But Gilbert's getting, what, 4% ownership?
Yeah, that's the thing, is he's much lower owned than even those other guys who aren't getting a ton of love. So he looks like the best contrarian, strictly contrarian tournament upside or tournament option without sacrificing any upside. I'm not really a futures better, but you could definitely sell me on some Mariners futures. We've talked about this staff a lot. And the MLB playoffs, man, all you need to do is get in and you have a real shot.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But, you know, this Texas team strikes out at such an alarmingly low clip. Second lowest strikeout rate in the league this year. It's a tough spot. There was a question in chat from Justin Sports. What's the DK cash pairing? Excuse me. It's Lopez King without question. There's no other answer.
I agree.
For cash. Like, you know, King $7,000, Lopez 93. unless you see anything else, I can't imagine you're playing cash lineups without Pablo Lopez and Michael King being your 1-2 on DraftKings.
Yeah, I think Lopez is like the clear no-brainer. And then King, just ride the ownership. He's cheap.
Yeah, I know you don't love him in tournaments, but we're talking cash games here. Totally.
Yeah, different. Just play the ownership.
Jordan, do me a favor. Go to exposures in the Sims tool. Oh, you're there. Pitcher exposures. So King, Lopez. Again, I think all of this changes, though. Like, I think Wicks comes down a lot once we get updated totals.
Right? I almost want to – I talked about Wicks earlier. I'm going to go back. I think this all this changes, and he's really low on our tools when all is said and done.
Yeah, once we see that total spike north of 5%, I think it's going to look a lot different. By the way, Tom Kennedy with the Sims tool took down 50K yesterday. Gotta love it. Took down 50K. We had somebody else. Dude, I'll tell you what. I mean, the Sims works the same with DraftKings and FanDuel, obviously, but with baseball and basketball. It's different in the sense that, like, correlation and everything with football and baseball, but it's doing the same thing, right? It's creating the contest generator, trying to replicate what the field's going to look like. And then it's simulating these contests tens of thousands of times and then showing you which lineups, which players have the highest simulated ROI. This is what the professional players were using long before it was ever available to the public. And now it is. And people weren't particularly happy about it. But the tool's been fantastic. And it's not just Tom that's winning. You know, we've seen so much of this lately. I saw one yesterday as well with NBA. Actually, another one too. Dave Oliver took down the Minimax with the PGA Sims. Awesome product. Where was the basketball one? Can't find it. But there was another basketball one. That dude took down like three different contests yesterday with the Sims tool. Can't find it, but you guys can always just look on Twitter. You'll see what I'm talking about. Anyway, you want to check it out. Either the lineup generator, which is a great price. You're going to get in at a good cost. The Sims weekly, monthly, the data. I'm not doing this to overwhelm you. I'm just saying there's something for everybody. Like, if you just wanted the lineup generator, if you wanted the all access for the week or the month, you're getting every single tool and on the site. Ownership, top stacks, boom bust tool, top pitchers, top hitters, premium Discord, or you can just get that without the Sims. So you name it, you got it, weekly or monthly. We got you covered across the board. And if you ever have any questions, hit me up on Twitter or in Discord. We're always happy to help. But in the description and in chat, check it out. I think you guys will love these tools and you'll be building better lineups than you do by hand. There's no doubt about that. You want to talk some stacks here?
I do.
All right. So, like we said, things are going to change. And matter of fact, I think Cubs and Astros are going to end up looking good in the tools.
I completely agree. We talked about this earlier in the season, actually, with Houston. They had started off really slow, and then we were like, when Houston goes off, they're going to go off. And they did. And I think we're going to see something similar again.
Me too. There's just too much talent right now in that. You're right about Abreu and you're right about Bregman, but there's still too many good bats to just be dormant for too long.
Agreed. So, putting our tools aside right now, because we've talked about this, I really like Houston here. Wicks is a good young arm, but very unproven. I mean, you're getting wind blowing out in Chicago. This is a great spot for Houston to get going. I don't know where ownership's going to land. They're more expensive than San Diego. Like, I don't think they're going to be high-owned at all.
Yeah, San Diego. It's funny, too, isn't it? Because the whole, like, first – this has been a thing we've talked about for many years now with DFS baseball. Like, the first game at Coors Field for the opponent, so often you see them just struggle. And I don't know if it's acclimating to the altitude or whatever it may be, but it's not every game. You see it a lot, though, Matt. You see it a lot with these teams that come in first game at Coors, and it just doesn't look very good. Second game at Coors, they have a 6.5 run implied total. There's a lot to like here for sure. But to your point about Houston, Wicks has a 36% ground ball rate right now, and he hasn't given up power. But last year in 34 2/3 innings pitch, he gave up 1.3 home runs per nine, had a 16% home run to fly ball rate. This is one of those games where you might start seeing the home runs come with the wind blowing out the center field at Wrigley.
That's what I'm thinking here. I don't think they're the safest play in the world because they haven't been great. And, you know, their two best hitters are lefties. But this lineup is too good to be dormant for too long. I'm right with you there. Man, you know, they get the full nine at-bats guaranteed. Ballpark upgrade against an unproven lefty. You know, as of right now, I like Houston a lot.
I already have using the Odd Shopper market-based tool. I was shocked. FanDuel had so many mispriced spots for home runs today, which happens a lot, but it usually doesn't happen for games that have really high totals, right? And maybe it was a win factor early on and they've adjusted. I have a lot of home run props for the Chicago Cubs today and got in it at some great prices. Wrigley Field with the wind. Do you know what JP France's ground ball rate is this year? I can tell you, 30%.
Okay.
30%. That could be a problem, particularly for a guy that isn't going out there. There's a lot of fly ball pitchers out there that, you know, thrive on strikeouts, but this isn't a 16% strikeout rate, 17% for his career. I love the Cubs today.
Yeah, I like both sides of this game. The tools are just like, we're showing Seattle with a 6-run total. I think the Cubs and the Astros might be behind only the Padres and Braves.
I agree.
Top stacks on the slate.
I agree. Matter of fact, I think I'd like the Cubs today, even if wind wasn't blowing out.
I agree. I think both these offenses look really good. I actually, and this is how I'll put it again, with no like numbers backing this up, I feel better about the Cubs against France, but I ultimately think Houston has more upside. You know, when they go off, I think that it's oftentimes more home runs than when the Cubs go off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You mean like just the ability to go out and put up 15 runs?
Right.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. But the Cubs are cheap. Maybe are I shouldn't they? Say. See, we have them with a 1.7 value score. They're not that expensive. There's nobody above 4,900 for the Cubs today.
Really? Yeah, you're right.
Well, Cody Bellinger is the highest priced player at 4,900.
Yeah, I think there's in the morning. The tools are just off all over.
I just DM the data team. They'll get it fixed up soon. Plus, we got live before lock tonight anyway. But think about it. There's nobody above 4,900. They have a total north of five. You're not paying that much for them at all.
If there's no one over 5K or no one, there's no way they have a 1.7% chance of being value.
No chance.
None.
Dude, I wouldn't be surprised if you just ran an optimizer, factory settings, unadulterated run, that when everything is said and done and updated, I wouldn't be surprised if you ran it, right? And you're looking to get the cash game lineup, that it's Pablo Lopez and King, and then probably be able to fit some form of Cubs Padres stack in there.
Yeah, for sure.
It's easy to do. Hey, what other stacks are we looking at today? Because
I was going to say, there's other teams that look good too.
Yeah.
Atlanta? Atlanta against Trevor Rogers, to name one. I mean, it's Atlanta. They're always going to be in play. They're really good against lefties. Missing Ozzie Albies sucks, but just makes them cheaper. Baltimore against the shaky Griffin Canning. I know he was okay in his last start against Tampa, but Tampa sucks. So I take that with a big grain of salt. Baltimore does not suck. They're very good. They're in play. And then both sides of the Cardinals Diamondbacks game against two mediocre lefties. I think you could see offense in this game.
I'm with you. Looking at some of these other pitchers, we talked about Seattle. I mentioned Dane Dunning at 6,600 or whatever he is, I think is totally viable.
Same. He's going to be way more in play once the tools update. Seattle's going to not be like, they're going to be middle of the pack at best.
Totally agree. Although I think they'll be fine. I don't think they'll be all that popular. It's not a bad park, so that doesn't bother me. Looking at a few other spots, like Yankees against Paul Blackburn, I suppose that's interesting. But the one thing about Blackburn, the guy doesn't give up a ton of power. Not to say that the Yankees can't just blast him here, because they can't. You know, you got a righty pitching at Yankee Stadium, which I assume should be nice weather. Let's see. Okay, 56 and sunny, but it's fine weather. Maybe the Yankees are one of those spots we should be talking about.
So the Yankees kind of remind me, not remind me, they look like Houston to me, and that waiting for the other shoe to drop, this lineup's just too good for them to be held back like they've been. But I like Houston more. You get the guaranteed 9 at bats. I like them against the lefty more than I like the Yankees against Blackburn, who, as you mentioned, has done a good job of limiting power, even if, you know, that easily could go away today because this Yankees lineup is so good. The bottom of the Yankees lineup isn't that great. Like, I think they're a high upside stack, and when they go off, they'll hit home runs. But they haven't been great to start the year, and this is kind of a trend we've seen for the past year at least.
Hoosier said, with a slate this large, do you want to limit your exposure ever because of how many options there are? Initial run of my optimizer has Lopez at 85%, Canning at 65%. You know, this is one of those things that's entirely dependent on, like, what your risk tolerance is. It's not, you know, like, it's not a one-shoe-fits-all type approach. Although, I will say, 65% Griffin Canning is horrifying.
I don't like that one at all.
If you're getting the 85% Lopez against the White Sox, I don't think anyone's going to say shit about that. That's, you know,
if I were playing 150 tonight, I could see myself playing 100% Lopez. It's that type of spot.
Yeah, the Canning spot is odd to me, particularly in a good park for hitters against a good Baltimore team. That's tough.
Yeah, that's, I mean, tough. As far as Canning goes, I'd rather play Dunning. I'd rather play Luis Severino. I'd rather play Fetty. The matchup for Canning is awful. Like, Baltimore is really good, especially against righties. They just call up Heston Kerstad. I wholeheartedly like the Baltimore stack more than Canning.
I have one more stack for you that I want to throw out there. Get your thoughts here. Get your thoughts in chat as well. I think Fetty's fine because he's mid-priced and he's going up against a real high strikeout team in Minnesota. I don't love him, though. But what about the twin stacks here? You know, you're looking at someone in Eric Fetty that already has two multi-homer games allowed. Gave up two long balls to Detroit, gave up three to Cleveland. It's, you know, reasonable weather in Minnesota. What do you make of this Minnesota stack?
I hate playing this team. Oh, God. They got it going. They did it for Tom last night. So, you know, yeah. I get going back there. They're really cheap.
Fetty having is Kepler certain back is nice, too. Having Max having Kepler back is nice. Just having that additional power in the lineup really helps.
100%. I think they look good. The ownership's there because they're so cheap. I think this is one where the ownership will continue to be there. They'll be in, like, the upper quarter of top stacks, like, at the bottom of that upper quarter, behind teams like the Braves, the Cubs, the Astros, the Padres, but in front of a lot of other teams. I'd rather go to teams like Arizona and St. Louis, who are harder to get to but aren't getting nearly the ownership than Minnesota. But I get Minnesota because they're so cheap, and Fetty is fine for his price, but far from a lock by any means.
Right. They are so cheap. They're so cheap. I think, though, even some of these these one-off spots, even if you're not stacking, like, you know, if you're maybe doing like 5-2-1s or whatever with a couple Minnesota bats or getting Kepler in there, I don't want to sleep on Minnesota, because you know what I'm kind of thinking of is you get, say, an expensive pitcher and then you load up on an expensive stack. Maybe it's Houston, maybe it's San Diego. And then you need to free up a little bit of space. Maybe you're hand building, maybe you're using the lineup generator and you want to make some swaps. I feel like you're going to get some good one-off, two-off options for Minnesota, even if you're not full out stacking them today.
Because they're so cheap. And you just mentioned the home run equity that Fetty provides. So Minnesota is not good, and they're often over-owned, but they're not awful like the White Sox, and they're priced as such. So they make sense as fill-ins. They'll be owned, but I don't think it's worrisome ownership with teams like the Padres on this slate. That's only San Diego really is the team that I think you have to worry about ownership.
Agreed. Also, I know it's early in the year, but Fetty has a 29% K rate versus righties and less than a home run per nine. 3.34 xFIP. Against opposite-handed bats, against lefties, he's striking them out at 14%. 3.5 home runs per nine to 5.14 xFIP. So batters that have had the platoon advantage against Fetty this season have absolutely destroyed him.
Yeah, Minnesota will be throwing a ton of lefties against him, no doubt about it.
Right, exactly. Makes me like him less in Minnesota a little bit more.
Yeah, I probably still won't play Minnesota, but that does make me like Fetty considerably less.
Yeah. Anyway, anybody else you want to... Oh,
for Minnesota, for me, I hate rostering them on big slates like this when the ownership's there. Maybe I'm off, but that's just how I feel.
Give me your favorite low-owned stack then. Give me your favorite stack. Hold on, Matt. Give me your favorite stack that you think is going to be low-owned once our top stacks tool updates.
I'm going to say Houston. They're so expensive. I'm going to say Houston, but also with a side of St. Louis and Arizona. I like both those teams.
All right. Do you watch playoff hockey?
I dabble, but not like consistently. Cleveland's never had a pro hockey team. I played hockey when I was like real young for a couple years, but then never really played it after that. So hockey's the sport I just never really got into, even though it's so fun to go to in person.
It's so fun to go to in person. And I will say I play hockey still, right? I still love it. I still play it. Men's league hockey, of course. Still got it though. But playoff hockey, the intensity level is unlike anything else. I was thinking about it because we have a free square over on Sleeper today. If you're new, you get the $500 first match deposit bonus and you get a free square. And it's Ottinger. Is that how you say it? Somebody that watches hockey more than I do. Let me know. I used to know every player in the league. Either way, 25.5 saves down to half a save, free square today. So whether you're watching hockey or not, if you're not at Sleeper, grab the over on that. Throw it into your lineup. You can get up to 100x. They have the dynamic pricing, which is very sweet, very cool, because you can take goal scorers. You can take home run hitters. You can take doubles, triples, stolen bases, touchdown scores, unlike other pick'em sites, because they have the multiplier. So if it's 4-1, you're getting, like on a traditional sports book, you're getting 4x multiplier when you throw that into your lineup. I'd recommend not going insane with like 8 different home run plays, but you get the point. You can do all of that. So if you have strong leans and you're on another one and you go, damn, I can't get that here and I can't bet because I'm not in a legal state, well, Sleeper has you covered. Plus the biggest deposit bonus outside or among any of the pick'em sites, and a free square essentially every day if you're a new user. So check it out. Link in the description and in the chat for that. Really great place to play and the best sign up bonus that you're going to find. So yes, very solid. Anyway, Matt, favorite pitchers, I'm going to go. All right. So it's Pablo Lopez, right? Any argument there? We have to, right?
Yeah.
All right. Lopez. And then we have to go contrarian. Let's go with a contrarian pitcher here. I'll throw yesterday. I liked Paddock because of the matchup. It was strictly a matchup thing. Seeing how he had been bad against really good teams. Now Pablo Lopez has got the same matchup. I'll go with Dane Dunning against Seattle.
I knew
Seattle.
You were going to go there.
I like Seattle, but look, the numbers don't lie. They still do have the highest strikeout rate in the league versus righties. They have some pop. It's not in Seattle, but Dane Dunning is dirt cheap. Could you get six innings, one run, six Ks from him? I think so. The game's essentially a pick 'em right now anyway. So give me Dane Dunning as my very low-owned play that we'll dabble with a little bit. Who do you have?
And I know people like to pick on teams just leaving Coors. So you've got that in your back pocket too with the Mariners just leaving Coors.
Read an article. That's a great call. There's a bunch of baseball studies out there that show teams that leave Coors, even when they come back home or go to another park, they struggle a little bit. So, yeah.
Now, to your point earlier, though, Coors Field hasn't been the same so far this year. So does that drop off, maybe not play as much early? Who knows? Just something to at least think about. I'm going to go with Gilbert. The matchup's brutal, but you said contrarian. He's the one guy where I'm like, damn, is there really a difference between him and Gausman and Fried and Logan Webb? I don't think so. And he's getting no ownership. So give me Gilbert here.
Okay, I like it. Yeah, the thing is, what I read was that the reason teams struggle coming away from Coors, whether there's a lot of runs or not at Coors Field, is because you actually have to approach pitchers differently, right? The ball doesn't travel the same at Coors Field. So you go in there and you have to make legitimate adjustments for how the ball travels at Coors Field. Well, now it's not traveling like that anymore, certainly not in Arlington, Texas. So we'll see, man. Fun show. Fun slate.
Yeah, remember that old Texas ballpark used to be like Coors Light.
Oh, my dude. We used to call it Coors Southwest in the summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That place was crazy. It really was. Like, you'd have Coors and what was it? Was it Arlington Stadium? Was it Rangers Ballpark? Like Arlington's?
Yeah. At Bay Rangers Ballpark at Arlington or something like that.
Something like that. Had the when did they get a new one? Right now. Did they get a new one or did they just renovate the old one?
So it was called the Ballpark in Arlington.
Yeah.
From 1994 until 2004. Then was called AmeriQuest Field. And then I'm trying to see. So, I don't think it was that long ago they got a new park, though. It's 2017.
Globe Life.
Oh, opened in 2020. Yeah, they broke ground in 17. Excuse me.
Okay. All right. Makes sense. That park was nuts. Get like 90 degrees, 100 degrees. Anyway. Appreciate you guys hanging out. As always, hit that thumbs up before you go. Greatly appreciate it. If you're listening or watching after the fact, we know you're out there. We appreciate you. And like I said, all the tools, lineup generator, sims, data, everything in the description and in chat. Sleeper $500 bonus plus the free square. Yes, Clint, it was very hot. You get like 100 degree days down there. It's wild. Follow Matt at Fantasy Tips Matt, me at Lafayette_D. See you back here tonight, live before a lock, baseball and basketball. And shout out to Jordan Klein. Thank him, as always, for producing this one. We'll see you back here for the next one. Peace.